from World Evangelism Center, St. Louis, Missouri, USA, reaching every nation with Bible salvation in present time. For the joy of proclaiming Jesus Christ the Lord, for He is God of all gods, and we love Him from the depth of our hearts. In just a few minutes, our Harvest Time Radio minister, C.M. Beckton, will bring an exciting New Testament message entitled, This Is That. We would urge you to contact your friends and ask them to tune to Harvest Time with you today, so that you all can be a part of the music and also the message today, as Harvest Time is guest of the Heritage Christian Life Center in South Haven, Mississippi. We are so pleased that you are a part of this service. We are thankful for the privilege we have to be with Pastor James Sandy and the saints of God here at Heritage Christian Life Center, as well as wonderful friends, minister and pastor friends, and precious people who are loyal to the ministry of Harvest Time. And let me tell you, wherever you hear Harvest Time today, this congregation here at Heritage Christian Life Center has prayed sincerely that God would use this service in a very special way for His glory and for the honor of His name. Also guests in this service today is to James E. Carney, the Mississippi Harvest Time Director. Also Cecil Greenway, the Southeast Regional Harvest Time Commissioner. And a wonderful friend from across the line in the state of Tennessee, Harold Jacob, who is Tennessee District Harvest Time Director. We are pleased that they are here. We are pleased that you are here. You are a vital part of this service. Now let me tell you something very exciting. A very special hello to our friends who hear Harvest Time over WWUN in Clarksdale, Mississippi, FM 101. We thank Mr. Jay Gilbert and Pastor Richard Motz because they have now arranged that Harvest Time is on over WWUN 6 times every week. Not just once, but daily. 6 times a week. And we are so thankful for that. And we pay special tribute to them and are thankful for the blessing of the Lord upon that area. And we pray that God will bless your station and return His blessings to you 100-fold. And now to open the musical portion of today's service, the Heritage Trio, made up of Tommy Ivey, Daniel, and Paula Smith, sing for you at this time, I Forgive You.
There was a woman brought to Jesus, taken in a sin, cast down at His feet that day. She was guilty and condemned. The law said she should pay the price for mistakes she had made. Oh, but her shame became rejoicing when she heard the Savior say, I forgive you, I forgive you, you are free to go.
just like that woman so long ago. I was weighted by the guilt of sin. Life's burden laid me low. Oh, but when I met my master, I said, Lord, I have great need. And what he did for her, he'll do it for you. Praise the Lord, he did it for me.
Moments if we do not bring harvest time to them. Because there are few people in our world, especially on the magnitude of a ministry like Harvest Time, that are bringing the true New Testament salvation message. And we are responsible to bring that message to our world. We ask you to think about that and to pray about that and to consider it when you think of your investment in souls through the ministry of Harvest Time. I will tell you the address now and then again in just a few moments so you can be prepared. If you're not prepared to write it now, to write it in just a few moments. It's Harvest Time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. This will be the last opportunity that I have to talk with you about what we call, kind of affectionately, our spring sale. A very special arrangement of prices for books, for periodicals, for tapes of artists that you hear on this radio service. Also, superb art prints by Harvest Time's own Sister Lily Agnew. Paintings that have been a blessing to the ministry of Harvest Time in so many ways for the past years, and they mean so much to every one of us. Every one of these items are especially priced, and this will be the last opportunity that I have to mention this to you. And if you'll write, we will send you the special price list for our spring sale, and it will make many things available to you. Again, our mail address is Harvest Time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. And remember, every dollar that you invest in the ministry of Harvest Time, you invest in reaching people who need to hear the wonderful message of truth. And now, just before today's Harvest Time service, Anna Russell comes to sing for you, I Couldn't Make It Without Him.
He let me try my wings because I asked him to. Knowing all the time I couldn't fly. He gave my feet their liberty and let them walk away. And all the time I never asked him why. But now I'm beginning to understand. He bought my life and he already had it planned. Oh, foolishly, I could not see. Sin had my vision dim. Go
entitled, This Is That, your Harvest Time Radio minister, C.M. Becton. God bless you, Brother Becton.
But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Acts 2:14-16. On the day of Pentecost, Peter honestly, accurately identified the this of the Spirit's great hour as the that of prophetic prediction in Joel 2:28. He could not have been mistaken, since he spoke not as the result of natural deduction alone, but by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Peter was no more humanly responsible for the identifying of this than was Joel for the prediction of that. He was correct, moreover, because this was the immediate product of Christ enthroned. Notice what Jesus said in John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now follow me to John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, and then to John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. How can this be? In the first scripture, the Father is sending the Comforter. In the next two passages of scripture, Jesus said, I will send unto you. Could it be possible that the Father and Jesus are one? Jesus said they were. I and my Father are one. John 10:30. God wants to reveal that marvelous truth to you. There is only one God. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. This initial manifestation of Pentecost to Christ's followers was accomplished so swiftly, it came with such suddenness, that it was as free from human admixture as any spiritual manifestation involving the human could be. Peter was correct, too, because wonderful supernatural results accompanied the phenomenon called this, Joel's prophecy. Note the complete transformation of character, which made humble, timid, and even perplexed disciples so triumphantly Christ-conscious that they stopped at no barrier in shouting his truth and glorifying his name. See the miracles of divine intervention that followed their words. Behold the conviction of sin upon the formerly indifferent hearers, the impelling force that attracted them, and the revolutionary work of redemption among the multitudes of them. But no less supernatural in this was the potent force of overwhelming, constraining, mystical love, binding men and women together in a new, invisible spiritual unity. They became body conscious. They owned a spontaneous, joyous dependence upon Christ as head and upon one another as members of his body. They assumed a tremendous worldwide spiritual responsibility to God and eventually to all men. Yet, on the church's spiritual natal day, Peter's this was Joel's that. It was so plainly stated, God, that when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what must we do? Hear the answer. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. After the day of Pentecost, the clearly identified this was to be affected. The influence of human elements became apparent. It was characterized by such sordid factors as selfishness, personal ambition, unholy alliances, loss of separateness, politics, worldly-mindedness, extravagance, formality, and a denial of the power of God. The apostles, even in their day, became alarmed at the fading of features in the face of God's this and the substitution of foreign features of man's manufacture. Making most sure that these chosen men of God warned against the substitution of human wisdom and human means for the Holy Ghost's presence and activity. They urged believers to genuine holiness, separation, yieldedness to the operation of the Holy Spirit, careful watchfulness and witnessing of Christ's coming, adherence to great simplicity rather than complex machinery, and holy pursuit of highest spiritual virtues so essential to the revelation of Christ through the church, his body, the fullness of him. When we soberly and prayerfully make application of this scriptural history to our own time and state, we read with deeply humbled hearts the final words of our Lord to the church left on earth to preserve and perpetuate Joel's prophecy and Peter's message that said Joel's prophecy was fulfilled. His words are a warning, chiding, condemnation, and stirring challenge. Strengthen the things that remain, he said. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Buy of me gold, white raiment, and anoint thine eyes. Of the day of Pentecost, a writer of today states, it was not only time, nor the last time that the Holy Spirit brought the church a fresh, vital interval. Throughout the centuries, there have been groups here and there, sometimes large and sometimes small, who have moved upon their ages with such power and have presented lives of such singular beauty that it has been equally appropriate to say, today, this is that. We submit an interpretation of the 10 days in the upper room very different from others. The chief feature in that retreat was not prayer. Prayer was simply one of the powerful means. The chief thing was that the human nature of the group came into a lofty state of disposal to the will of God. They attained that superb condition where an empty vessel, they were ready for this treasure. Here is an affirmation which the church must never surrender, least of all when the days are long and there is no open vision. Our God is always ready and willing to repeat times of Pentecostal glory in the church for the assurance of which the text, Acts 2:16-17, is available as a divine promise, even as the Spirit intended. From the beginning of this century, men on earth have jubilantly participated in a miracle revival of Pentecost. The United Pentecostal Church exists only for the preservation. And let me say that again. The United Pentecostal Church exists only for the preservation and witness of this great miracle. If we are honest with ourselves, we must confess that human hands have marred the words of Peter, making it more difficult its identification with Joel's prophecy. Let me say that again. There is a lot of human element involved today, and the line of demarcation is being erased when the church takes on the world. It loses its power. Where is the separateness? Paul said, come out from among them and be ye separate. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Call it legalism, if you will, but it is far from that. It is simply obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Let the church be the church. Only then will it be the church triumphant. And I want you to know there always will be a church that is triumphant. People may go away. People may leave the truth. But the church is going to be triumphant even till the day when the church is raptured. Jesus comes back for his bride without spot, without blemish, with the beauty of holiness. He's coming back. And that day is very, very near. Let us say to ourselves, we will be ready. We are ready. We're going to stay ready. Jesus is coming back. And you too, my friend, can be ready for that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Just an old rejected relic.
We know that you are a life-changing Savior. You can take ashes and make beauty out of them. You can take sorrow and give joy. And we pray, Lord, that you will do that for a soul today that needs to be changed into happiness from that of sadness. We'll give you the praise for all that is done. As they call upon you, we know that you will answer them and show them great and mighty things which they don't even know about, but they can know through you, and we'll carefully praise you for it all. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Harvest time. Thank you.
rapture of harvest time has brought you a Bible message with a clear and certain sound. A printed copy of today's outstanding gospel message is available to you if you will request it when you write to us at Harvest Time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. We would be extremely pleased to hear from you this week and to know that you are attending the United Pentecostal Church near you. You'll love the atmosphere of this truth-proclaiming center in your area. Now, in behalf of our General Superintendent, Nathaniel A. Urshan, and the people of the United Pentecostal Church International, this is Hugh Rose saying, God bless you. It was great to be with you today, and we'll be looking forward to being with you next week.